behalf of Father Joseph and Deacon Meyerhoff, we'd like to wish you all a very blessed Christmas. A reminder that Christmas isn't just a day, but a season that we celebrate as we prepared. Now we celebrate we can celebrate all the way till February 2nd if you go till the presentation. Every day, every year, right before the Christmas break, I like to visit all the classrooms to give the kids a little blessing before they head out for their time off. And I like to ask them this question. Would you ever go to a birthday party and not talk to the person whose birthday it is if you were invited to that party? And even as young as kindergarten, they react vehemently against it because it's so rude. And yet, when you think 2,025 years of celebrating the birth of Christ, how often that is so many people's response. There's this great party for the newborn Savior, and no one remembers. And so I tell the children, you know, when we exchange gifts, it's not a bad thing. Christmas is about gifts and presents. We give gifts in a recognition of the greatest gift that's ever been given. And that's what we have to remember, that the greatest gift ever given in the history of the world is the birth of the Savior. And we have to remember that, certainly while we're at Mass, it's somewhat easy to do, if you will, but even in the midst of our celebrations, we need that reminder of why we're here. And one of the beautiful things about the birth of Christ, among many, is the profound humility of that first night. The only people that were at the manger were humble people. First, of course, Mary and Joseph. The most perfect woman ever created, and the most humble. And next to her, Saint Joseph, this man, hardworking, quiet, diligent, and also humble. And that's not by chance. When you get to design your own parents, as Jesus did, you make sure they have all the gifts that's needed to be the guardians of the Word made flesh. And the Midnight Mass, that's the focus, is the Word made flesh and born in the stable with his mother and Saint Joseph. At the morning Mass, the early Mass, the focus is even more so on the shepherds who go. They're the next people to come to the crib, and they come in total humility. And then at the 9 o'clock Mass, the focus is on the Word begotten of the Father. It's the only Mass from Christmas Eve until tomorrow, today, that has no mention of the birth of Christ as much as it does of the origination of Jesus in the womb of the eternity of the Father, begotten, not made. And so going back to the stable and the humility that it takes to be there, the third person that's there is Jesus Christ, true God and true man, in this amazing, mind-blowing union of God with humanity. And it's no accident that he comes in a humble way, because he's coming to remove something. He's coming to remove the great obstacle between men and God, and that's our sins. In justice, he could have come with thunder and lightning, throwing down sulfur everywhere he went and condemning us for our sins. That's what we deserve in justice. But instead, he came down to remove the very barrier. He didn't come, as he says, to condemn the world, but to save it. And he comes to reveal the depths of the love of God for man. for each and every one of us. You will never meditate too much or too long on the reality that God loves you individually, particularly, and specially. And the reason that's so hard for us is because we cannot love that way. I mean, we love individuals, but we don't know what it's like to love perfectly. And God is perfect. And he came so that we could receive his love and that we would love him with his love. Even though he doesn't need our love, it adds nothing to his greatness when we love God. When we do what we're supposed to, God is not a better God when we do that. But when he came to give us his love so that we could love him, it's so that we could be who we were created to be. And you should never forget that. When we love with the love of God, we're becoming who we were created to be. Because we weren't created to live forever on earth, as I'm sure you know. Everything in the whole cosmos was made for us. But we were made for God. And even when Adam and Eve threw a wrench in that plan, God fixed it personally by sending his son. And so today is about gifts and presents, but maybe not in the plural. It's about the gift, Jesus Christ, and the presents. Because we're not just remembering something that happened 2,025 years ago. We have the real, true, and substantial presence with Christ right behind me. And he'll be on this altar in a few minutes. And he wants to come to you and to me, again, in a most humble way, in what looks like bread and wine, but is really and truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And when we receive him worthily, that helps us to be who we're supposed to be, because we receive the very sacrament of charity, the love of God in person. And so this Christmas, I encourage you to make a resolution. One, maybe two. One, meditate on God's love for you. You are a sinner in need of God's mercy, and he loves you even despite your sins, of which he knows every single one you've ever committed. And he still loves you personally. And then two, ask him to help you to love him above all things. The Lord tells us that. We need to love God with our whole heart, mind, body, and soul, and our neighbor as ourselves, because then we can be the people we were created to be. Love is what makes us who we were meant to be, and that's what heaven is. Heaven is in the very presence of love itself. So meditate on the love of God for you, and then ask his help so that you can love him above all things, and you can love your neighbor as yourself, and you can be who you were created to be.